Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
You're awesome, baby. You'll hear those words at the end of our conversation with legendary sportscaster Dick Vitale. He's our special guest today. Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and alongside my sidekick, Carrie Carney, and our producer, Tom Jenkins, we deliver tips to help you build your business and your career. My sidekick, Carrie Carney, did a great interview with Dick Vitale, which we'll get to in a few minutes. At the end of the interview, Carrie will ask Dick Vitale about his work with the V Foundation. The V Foundation is in honor of Coach Vitale's great friend, Jim Valvano, and they raise funds to support cancer research and related programs. I ask that you get a pen and paper right now. Get this in your hand so you can write down an important website. I'll tell you what it is now, and then I'll come back to it several times. The website I'd like for you to write down is DickVitaleOnline.com. That's DickVitaleOnline.com. A special program that's connected to the V Foundation is the Lacey Holdsworth Research Grant. Be sure to listen carefully when Dick Vitale issues a plea to contribute to the V Foundation on behalf of a young lady named Lacey Holdsworth. The website that you'll want to log on to in order to learn more and to contribute again is Dick Vitale Online. As always, we try to build a show around our guest and to complete that show about being what we're going to call either change makers, Tom, or wave makers. You get the idea. It's someone who inspires positive change in the lives of others. And we found two great stories in the June edition of Success Magazine that tie in real strongly, I think, with Dick Vitale's message. And the first article is, again, from Success June edition, is by John Maxwell. A lot of people are going to recognize the name John Maxwell. He is probably the leading leadership guru in the world today. I don't know how many books, Tom, maybe 21 books this guy has written. This guy is, the word I think is prolific, you know, and a great speaker. And he's a regular contributor to Success Magazine. And his article is entitled Opportunity Knocks. And he asks, will you answer the door and hold it open for others? And he sets it up by this analogy, and I like this. He says, picture yourself walking through a maze. Most of us have experienced that, right, Tom? And you go to...
Weekly.
Okay, yes, I understand. But let's pretend we're in this... I guess they call them the corn mazes, where you go round and round and round. And so, you know, you will sometimes find your way out, and sometimes you'll run into dead ends, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But you'll keep going, right? So the idea is that you'll eventually arrive where you want to go. And he points out, John also points out, and kind of with that thought process in mind, and he's talking about you can build success momentum. And, you know, picture you're going through this maze, but, you know, you're having some success. And if you are not, well, you need to start being real sensitive as you're going through the maze. Look for those openings. Look for those doors that open. For the opportunities when opportunity does knock. Is it making sense?
A little bit so far.
A little bit? Okay, well, we're going to keep going. Because with those kind of ideas, he has some ideas on how you can open doors for yourself. Let's talk about us first as individuals.
Okay?
Here's some ideas. Keep walking, John says, in terms of you're in the maze, keep walking. And he points out that people often are on the verge of success, but they don't know it. They just often stop too early. And there's Norman Vincent Peale has a famous quote. It is, it's always too early to quit. Next thought in terms of looking for opportunities and when it's knocking and paying attention is keep searching. Keep looking for new things, looking for new opportunities. And a good idea is to look at what others have done. You know, have they been successful? Another phrase is success leaves clues. Now, that's not to say you copy them, but success leaves clues.
A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from others' mistakes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm an idiot.
Well, but we're working.
Right.
We're working. It's part of the improvement process with the Business Builder Show. We're improving ourselves.
Gotcha.
Another idea is keep clarifying, you know, your opportunities. And all that means is that, you know, you have to have that. What do you, when you wake up in the morning, what's your purpose? What are you really striving for? What's your goals? You know, in our case, it's to take this show national, Tom. I wake up thinking that, you know. Now, if you run a business, you may be thinking about, you know, adding 20 new employees to raise the business. You got to clarify your purpose. Another point, keep working. Don't give up. If you give up in the middle of that maze, you're never getting out, right? You got to keep working. Another famous quote from Thomas Edison. It says, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work.
That's perfect.
Yeah, perfect. So, you know, it looks like work, you know, but sometimes we miss those opportunities. Another thought in terms of paying attention and looking for opportunities for ourselves is to keep opening those doors. And just because one opens, that doesn't mean you should stop. You got to keep going. You got to keep learning. You got to keep on improving. When you get about through 12 significant doors, you start to see some real success. Well, this is good, Tom. We've made success for ourselves. We had opened some doors. We found some new opportunities.
We've learned how to recognize those opportunities.
We've learned how to recognize them. We're getting better. We've taken this advice. Now comes the opportunity to help others. And this is cool stuff also. This is where you can become a mentor. And he talks about push people to grow. That may sound uncomfortable, but what he really means is sometimes people don't understand how great they can be.
Yeah, they don't know their potential until you actually show them their potential.
You push them to it. You show them. You educate them. As a mentor, you should be open to people's questions. You've, like you pointed out, Tom, you've gone through all these things. We've been through the maze. We have some wins and losses. Learn from the mistakes of others,
mm-hmm.
right? And be open. When you have a leader in training, be open to their questions. Help them out. Another thing, give them chances to change. Are they excited? Are they innovative? Do they want to approach a problem in a new way? You know, you should encourage that and give them chances to change. Give them a stake in the outcome. We talked about this thought process, and we talked about the great game of business and open book management. When they have a stake in the outcome, they feel responsible. They feel part of the whole opportunity. That's important.
Being a part of. Yes.
It's critically important. Provide opportunities for them to win. You know, give them the opportunities if they're willing to step up. And when you do this, when you're looking for opportunities for yourself and you're mentoring others, this becomes a habit. This develops yourself. It develops your business. Doing all this really becomes a habit, and it's really going to help you drive your business. The following quote is from Orison Swett Marden, and he said, "Don't wait for extraordinary opportunities. Seize common occasions and make them great. Weak men wait for opportunities. Strong men make them." Wow, powerful. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our interview with Mr. Dick Vitale.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
The Business Builders Show is thrilled to have Dick Vitale. Coach, thank you for taking the time and visiting with our audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals seeking excellence.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure being on. I like talking to people that are always chasing their goals and their dreams. And as I've said so often, I always define winning, whether it be in the corporate world or the athletic world, to simply be able to look in the mirror and simply say, I did my best in pursuit of my goals and dreams. When someone does that, to me, they're a winner in the game of life.
That's excellent, Coach. Let's just get right into it. Explain to me about the three E's of life.
Well, you know, I've always grown up with an attitude. I grew up in a great family. My mom and dad really represented what America is all about, blue collar, hardworking, really all about the family. I tell people many times in my speeches that I learned more at my dinner table than any class I ever took. I learned about adversity. I learned about absolute punctuality, respect, love, loyalty, all the things, ingredients, the intangibles that I think help you become successful as an entrepreneur, as an athlete, as just an everyday person. And I've always believed in the three D's of life: desire, dedication, determination. I think when you have that and you factor in the fourth D, discipline in your life, the four D's, I think great things happen. I often talk about the three E's of life: energy, excitement, enthusiasm for every day, being enthusiastic. Great leaders set the tone and become contagious to the people they're around by their ability to be excited about what they're doing, be enthused about it.
Yeah, excitement level is certainly something you bring to everything you do. Coach, I wanted to give our audience just a little background as to how you got here. Your friend and a friend I've made, Coach Jim Johnson. I was talking to Jim about a week ago, and he told me you two are working on a new book, or you're helping him with his new book. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Well, you know, Jim's certainly a guy with a lot of motivation and inspiration. He has a book out that's really indicates and certainly shows his way of life. I'm actually working on a new book right now with Dick Weiss. Dick is a Hall of Famer, an outstanding journalist who really has great feel for the college athletic scene, whether it be football or basketball. Working on a new book right now, which really would take a look at a journey to my 75 years of life. And I've tried to have a different event that really captivates each year in terms of talking about some of the great, great things that have happened throughout my career and some of the down moments too. No one has a life that's just filled. I don't care how much fame you have, how much money you have, there are bumps and there are bruises. And how you survive those bumps and bruises and how you attack those really is a key to making it up that ladder of success.
On the business show, we talk a lot about failing, but to fail fast. Any comments on that?
Well, I agree with that. I know along my way, certainly I was a boy, a ball, a dream. My buddy came up with that saying years ago by the name of Larry Sirigano, and I loved it. A boy, a ball, a dream. And really, that epitomized my life. I was a kid with my basketball, my dreams, and reality set in. I mean, I didn't have the ability to be the kind of player I used to dream of wanting to be. But I took that same philosophy and attitude into the everyday world. When I was a teacher, then I became a coach, I tried to apply that to my life. And I was on a fast track, man. I mean a fast track. 1970, I'm teaching the sixth grade, just won back-to-back state championships, my team did, in high school as a coach over in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And then all of a sudden, boom, I go from there to Rutgers, assistant coach, head coach, University of Detroit, athletic director and head coach, University of Detroit, head coach in the NBA. All that happened in a seven-year cycle. And then all of a sudden, November 8th, 1979, I get the ziggy. I get fired. And let me tell you, that is the most empty feeling when a boss walks in, because basically what's he saying? He's saying, you really didn't do the job, you're not getting it done, and we're going to make a change. And wow, that really hits your self-esteem big time. And it ripped me. It ripped me, put me in a state of depression, put me sitting at home feeling sorry for myself, until my wife really woke me up. And then, fortunate for me, 2 weeks after I got fired, I get a phone call, and I'm asked to do the very first game on a new network. And when they said ESPN, as I tell people in my speech, that I said, ESPN sounds like a disease. What is ESPN? Well, we've seen where ESPN has gone and how big it's become, and I feel so proud to be just that little spoke in the big wheel they've become. 35 years, half of my life now, has been dedicated to ESPN.
Yeah, you mentioned you started December 5th, 1979, the Wisconsin-DePaul game, and you kicked off an empire with ESPN then. Coach, I was reading your book, Living a Dream, And you mentioned something that a fellow announcer once said to you, Jim Johnson. Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Jim Johnson.
It was Jim Simpson.
He said something like, no such thing as just another game. And that's kind of what we try to tell the people out in the business world. Your next greatest moment is going to be the next thing you do. You want to talk a little bit about what Jim said?
Yeah, you know, when I'm new at the business and we were assigned a game together, Jim played a vital role in my career. He really was great with me, teaching me so much on the ins and outs of how to do a telecast as a guy doing games. And Bob Lee, outstanding journalist and outstanding TV guy in our studio at ESPN, taught me a lot of the ins and outs of how to work within a studio framework. But Jim, we were out having lunch, and I remember saying to Jim, well, you know, we don't have really a big game today. Just another game. And he stopped me, man. He stopped me. And he said, let me get one thing straight with you. He said, every game you do, treat those kids that are playing like it's a national championship. Because to them, their family, their friends, their students on their campus, it's the biggest moment. They really are all excited about today being involved in a telecast. And from that moment on, I've always tried to treat every game like it's the most important, because it is most important to those playing, most important to me. You're only as good as your last telecast. It could end in a minute. And I've been fortunate for 35 years that it hasn't ended, because really, I've been very, very blessed.
Another person that I picked up, and I had the opportunity to see this gentleman talk at my daughter's commencement at Penn State University, George Bodenheimer. And you mentioned it in the Express Pros speech. Could you give a little background on who George was and who he is now?
Well, you know, George Bodenheimer, you talk about climbing the ladder, coming from the beginning. He went to a great college. He went to Denison, had a tremendous degree. It's a great school out in Ohio. And George pursued his dreams, got hired at ESPN. And initially, obviously, like anyone else, you have certain goals. His goal was to be a marketing guru. And he was initially assigned to work in a mail room and then do odds and ends jobs. Like one of them was to pick me up when I would come in to Bristol, and I've seen this guy and talked to him and tried to give him a little advice, because he was really, you know, beside himself, saying, here's a guy with all this knowledge and all this ability intellectually and wants to share it, and here it is, he's working in a mail room driving people around. And finally I kept saying to him, I said, George, someday you're going to make it. There's something about you that's unique. There's something about you that is special, and you are going to make it. Well, all I could simply say, 1990, I believe, eight, I remember sitting at the airport, a little stranded deal over in Atlanta, open up USA Today, and there's the headline, George Bodenheimer named president of ESPN. Wow, talk about climbing a ladder. Unbelievable. I could not believe it. And I'm so proud and honored that he's a friend, that I've worked for him, and he's just a beautiful guy who just had the whole package, personality, attitude, knew how to treat people, treated people with respect. He's now stepped down as the CEO and president, but he hasn't stepped down, and that he's right now involved heavily with the V Foundation and many other situations. George is just a tremendous, tremendous humanitarian and a great, great person.
Coach, we have to take a short break on the Business Builder Show, but we'll be right back with the rest of the interview with Coach Dick Vitale. Stay tuned.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. We have a very special guest today, Coach Dick Vitale, 12-time Hall of Famer. That says something. And he's coached at all levels, high school, college, professional. But he's best known for as the voice of basketball at ESPN. Coach, I wanted to, from your books, break down, you have a great acronym for PRIDE. Could you go through the steps of P-R-I-D-E for our audience?
Well, you know, I think personally that everybody, if you want to be a success, it starts with you having some pride in yourself. I mean, you got to have pride about what you do, pride about what people, you know, how they react to what you do, and do things in a positive way. I've often believed if you think positive, have faith, and you really live a life where I have a simple formula. It's called passion plus work ethic plus good decision making equals W, win in the game of life. And that applies to the corporate world as well. And then I take pride, for example. To me, when you have pride, it starts with P for perseverance. You gotta persevere, especially when things don't go well. Anybody can stand tall when they're giving you the gold trophy and they tell you you're the best. But you find out a lot about people, how they handle tough times. And it's those tough times, if you handle those, usually gives you an opportunity to grow. I know tough times for me in my life were losing my eye as a kid. But my mother let me never, ever use it as an alibi or excuse. I've said it so many times, my mom and dad were uneducated, but they had a doctorate of love and taught me in this great country. If you have pride in yourself, persevere when things are tough. R, respect. Respect all you're competing against, but have fear for none. Respect comes by the fact of being prepared. Being prepared. I've often said the harder I work, the luckier I get. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. We've heard those sayings. I believe in them. I believe they're vital to being a success in life. And then there's I for intelligence. And I'm not just talking book intelligence. I'm talking about making intelligent decisions in your personal life. Because I'm sure you know, and I know, and many of the listeners know, people that have every quality going for them, except they don't make intelligent decisions about the drug scene, about the alcohol scene. Make good decisions. That's what life's about. You'll feel good about yourself. And then we talked about earlier about the four D's, desire, dedication, determination, and a discipline of body and mind. You culminate the word pride and pride in a person by having the three E's, energy, enthusiasm, and an excitement for life. To me, those qualities are vital every day to try and live your life to the best of your ability. And I've tried to do that with my life. I'm going to be 75, man. I'm at a point in my life now where the candles on the cake cost more than the cake. But I'll tell you this, it's never stopped me from having pride in myself.
Coach, that's great. You have some good insights on having a plan A and a plan B. You want to go with a little deeper on that?
Well, I think all of us should have the dream that we're chasing. That should be plan A. Plan A, I'm chasing a dream. Mine was to be a college coach. But really, maybe it wouldn't happen. So now you have to have plan B. Plan B was more realistic. Go to school, get my master's, be prepared to maybe combining my bachelor's degree and teaching experience, now get a master's in administration, and ultimately maybe become an administrator. So I got my master's in education, took administrative credits, and was preparing for that field in the event coaching didn't happen. Sometimes life takes different turns and different ways, but having an education, I tell young people all the time, read. Reading, having knowledge, gives you power. I learned two things at home as well. I have a book out now. It's called Getting a W in the Game of Life. And every dollar I make off that book goes to kids battling cancer. People want a copy, autograph, they go to my website, DickVitaleOnline.com. But in that book, I share two things I learned from my mom and dad. Number one, never ever believe in can't. Don't allow can't to be part of your life. And number two, they used to say to me 20, 30 times a day, Richie, didn't call me Dick, Richie, be good to people and people will be good to you.
Coach, I wanted to talk about something very dear to you through the V Foundation and a young girl that recently passed that really, it had me crying when I heard the backstory of it. Lacey Holsworth. Could you talk a little bit about Lacey and Coach Izzo and the impact it's had on your life?
Well, you know, Lacey's a youngster that inspired me so much. Her smile was angelic. Her courage in battling cancer the way she did. Lacey was at my gala last year, and she brought the house down. She absolutely brought her smile when she was interviewed on stage with Adrian Payne, who became like a brother to her. They were so close. I did the senior day game when they played Iowa, and I didn't leave until after the game because I wanted to stay there for senior night and have a post game, and she was going to be the escort for Adrian, and it was so beautiful to see. And I've got a little to know her mom and dad and know a little bit with Adrian and with Lacey, and I was totally crushed when she was at the Final Four. And about 2 days after the Final Four, I was giving a speech in Orlando to a health group, and then I got in a car and I was coming back home, and my phone rang early in the morning from Jason King, who used to work at ESPN, now is with Bleacher Report, and Jason said, "Did you hear about Lacey?" And as soon as he said that, I said, "Don't tell me." And sure enough, she had passed. I immediately called her dad up, and that was like 7-8 hours, I guess, after she passed. And I can tell you, it was a conversation filled with so many tears, obviously by Matt and dad and by me, and called Tom Izzo right after that, and both of us are crying like babies because she's really hit so many people. Her legacy will be so special, how she's affected so many lives with her courage. Well, I got emotional in talking to the father, and I said, "We're not going to let her die in vain. At my gala, we're going to have a tribute to Lacey, and I promise I'm going to raise $250,000 in her name, and we're going to have a research grant in Lacey's name through the V Foundation. They'll designate where the research dollars go, but we will have grants in her name to help other kids battling that unbelievable disease." And since then, just the other day, I was torn apart again when I got a phone call that another youngster that was with us and was so excited at our event, 14 years of age, aspiring hockey youngster, loved meeting all the celebrities, Dylan Simmons, he passed as well, and will be with Lacey, obviously, up in heaven.
Coach,
we must stop this.
Coach,
we must stop it.
How can our audience get involved? I'll give you the last 20 seconds to get people to get energy and give money to this great cause.
I appreciate that. Very easily, just go to DickVitaleOnline.com. You'll see pictures of Lacey. Click a picture, and you can make a donation, and that money will go toward that $250,000 that I'm trying to collect. Please go to DickVitaleOnline.com. Make a donation. You may save someone you love. Cancer is absolutely, it's sickening what it does to people. Cancer sucks, to put it bluntly, and it affects all, whether you're rich, poor, black, white, Christian, Jewish, it doesn't matter. It'll bring you to your knees. So I beg you to please make a donation on behalf of Lacey so we can let her legacy continue in helping other kids. Go to DickVitaleOnline.com.
Coach, thanks so much and have a great day and keep up the great work.
Thanks, I really appreciate the opportunity to be out with you people. You're awesome, baby, with a capital A.
Thanks, Coach Dick Vitale, for being part of the Business Builder Show. Stay tuned. We have more to come.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. I was delighted with that interview. What fun.
What energy.
What energy. I should say that. What energy. Going to give you the website again in case you'd like to donate to the V Foundation on behalf of Lacey Holdsworth. And the website again, of course, is www.dickvitaleonline.com. DickVitaleOnline.com. Now, you can also contribute by calling. And let me give you that number. And Tom, remind me in the show to give both again. But the number to call, if you'd like to contribute, if you don't want to get on the computer, is 800-454-6698. That's 800-454-6698. So I hope we really ring the phones and ring the website, people listening to the Business Builder Show, because we are definitely wave makers and changers and influencers and all those kinds of good things. So we were talking in the first segment about two articles, and the first one was with John Maxwell, and now we're going to talk about an article in Success Magazine, June edition, by a person named Patty Johnson. And Patty wrote a book called Make Waves, Be the One to Start Change at Work and in Life. I think it ties in well with the change that Dick Vitale has inspired us to make changes, positive changes, and to contribute to the lives of others. So Patty talks about her book, and I'll say it again, Make Waves, Be the One to Start Change at Work and Life. And she says she wanted to talk, she is talking about people who started a change in their organizations, their communities, or the marketplace. And she describes a wave, being a wave maker, as any change with any change that begins with your decision to act. Those are important words, Tom. Begins with your decision to act. When she was interviewing people and doing the due diligence on all this work and doing all the research, she says the common denominator is that one person, not a committee, not a group, one person saw a need or an opportunity and decided to be the one to start the change. So that's all exciting, but if you want to make a change, guess what? You got to get people to pay attention to you, right? I mean, unless you're making a personal change, and that's fine. But we're talking about making a change in your community, in your company, in any organization. She has some suggestions to help you become noticed when you want to be a wave maker. First one she talks about is move quickly. Even without all the answers, wave makers are absolutely predisposed to action. This may be uncomfortable for some people.
I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I got to hear what she's got to say about this, because this is not good in my life.
This can be uncomfortable for those folks who like to plan, have the detailed plan, be ready for everything, but Patty makes the point, moving quickly is essential when you want to make waves. It's all about movement. It's all about starting something. It's engaging others to be part of the goal. It's not a command and control effort. You can't tell people what to do. You can't tell them, let's make some changes, positive changes. You just can't do that. You got to lead this. And so she talks about a person that she interviewed. His name is Brett Hurt, and he's an entrepreneur. And he talks about, you know, this important things. And he says, you've got to get going. You've got to surround yourself with other people who are incredibly passionate about your cause. If you have a dream, you have to get moving, or it's never going to happen. He also talks about the fact that he's looking to invest in companies and investor. What does he look for? He looks for the same qualities. If he wants to invest in a company, he wants to look with someone who's in action, baby, making things happen, who are stepping up and who are engaging others. And so that's what he looks at if he wants to, invest in a company. Now, this mean you should just pull the gun out of the holster and start firing away? No, not so quick. You don't act too quickly. You certainly want to study. You want to analyze your opportunity. You want to read. You want to find out as much as you can about the opportunity, but don't let yourself be paralyzed. I've seen this too frequently. Some folks just get so much in the analysis that they are paralyzed and they don't move. Now, if you study, you read, you talk to others, what you'll see is that you have a gut instinct, and that comes from studying and paying attention. So you don't have to have all the answers. You just got to get started. Taking the first step is the hardest, and that's a courageous one, quite frankly. Here's another idea from Patty Johnson, and she wants to help you engage others in helping make some changes. And she says, tell everyone. I found this fascinating, Tom, because this is something a little more counterintuitive, especially in our social media world today. Here's something she points out. She says, no one I interviewed for my book mentioned the savvy email campaign or the jaw-dropping marketing presentation they used to get others on their bandwagons. What did they do? They told everybody that they saw, I have this great idea. I'm really excited about it. I'm passionate. They network with others. They took people to lunch. They were very, very active in simply talking to people, everyone that they met, they were excited about. They wanted to share it. They talked to financial people. They talked to marketing people. They talked to people who had done their idea before. They really engaged people. Another important part in terms of getting people engaged in your idea and your dream and being a wave maker in your organization, in your family too. This applies to your family also, is don't try to get too clever. You know, it's kind of like the email campaign. You think you're going to put something out there and you're going to be a wave maker and it's going to, go viral. That's just not real. You know, it's proven to be the best thing that you can do is don't get clever. Just talk to everyone. And she has data apparently to support her idea here that talking to people hands down is the best way to get others invested in your plans and in your dream. And I'm going to say her name again. It's Patty Johnson. Her book is Make Waves, Be the One to Start Change at Work and in Life. And the article that we're talking about is from Success Magazine, the June edition. Staying with the concept of you need to get others involved if you're going to make some changes. So point number three, she says, is make it easy for people to say yes to your idea. Make it easy for people to say yes. Don't make this real complicated. You know, you're taking people to lunch and you're talking about it. Don't make it so hard to understand that they can't even get involved in it. And she talks about someone who made a bunch of shirts, took it to a store manager and said, try my new shirts. He said, the last thing I need is more shirts. And he said, just try them. Just test them. Just see if you like them. And then what happened? A few days later, the store manager of that clothing store called and said, I love your shirt. So he just was in the mode of telling everyone, and he made it easy for someone to respond to him.
He didn't sell them the shirts. He just gave it to them.
He gave them. That's an important part. He gave them. He said, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just really like for you to try them.
Mm-hmm.
Made it easy, right? Made it easy to do business with themselves. So success articles from Success Magazine, June edition. Fascinating from John Maxwell and Patty Johnson. We need to wrap up already. So thank you for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support in the studio. And a special thank you to Dick Vitale for inspiring us to be real change makers in our personal and professional lives. The website, again, to help out research the V Foundation on behalf of Lacey Halsworth is DickVitaleOnline.com. That's DickVitaleOnline.com. The number, if you want to call, is 800-454-6698. That's 800-454-6698. Our guest next week will be Sherry Warwick. And Sherry's going to talk to us about creating business plans that actually get financed. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. My name is Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.